Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, with me, the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And please forgive me again. For the life of me, I cannot remember to bring my reading glasses. I did know last night in my dream when I was reading the book HH6, I didn't need my reading glasses then, so... if you guys missed out on Sunday school, I'll have to tell you about that later. I don't have time right now to do those things. Oh, thanks. Are these women?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see better through the eyes of a woman tonight. Let's read these first 16 verses tonight. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the Beatitudes, and I don't really recall myself dealing with this particular subject, but we're going to take a couple weeks and deal with them. I'm not going to deal with all of them tonight. We're going to try to get through at least four of them. But let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 5. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's where our main text is going to be tonight, but let's continue reading. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's have a word of prayer this evening. Lord, again, we are grateful that we are able to come tonight to partake into the teaching and preaching of your word. God, I pray that you'd, as you've spoken to my heart, I pray that you speak to your people's heart as well. God, I pray that you just guide me through your word once again. And Lord, if there's anything that's I have written down that you don't want to be there, God, I've known that you have done this in times past, but Lord, if there's something there, I ask you just to remove it, or that my eyes would not even see it. God, I pray that you just be glorified through everything that is said and done. And Lord, before I close, I know there's a lot of empty seats out there tonight. And God, I miss the folks that aren't here. And Lord, I know that some are gone because they're sick. I know some are gone because they can't see very well at night, and so driving for them is very difficult. But God, I pray for the ones who are just home, just to be home. God, I pray that you just bring them back to us. Show them the need and give them the desire to be in fellowship with other believers. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, here we are. We just read these first 16 verses of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, it's the very first book of the New Testament, and it really begins here in chapter number 5 with Jesus talking to his disciples. What a great privilege that the disciples had to be underneath the teaching of Jesus Christ. And it really starts off on a good note with his disciples, because back in Malachi of chapter 4, verse number 6, it ends very differently. It talks about a curse. If you go ahead and turn back there, because I want to show you so that you can see this, but the book of Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says, and let's read verse number 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so that's how we left off in the Old Testament with Malachi. And now here we are in the book of Matthew, and Jesus here is going to be talking to the disciples about being blessed. And what a great note to start on. So I'm just going to set up the scene here just a little bit because that's something I've come accustomed to doing. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a background, maybe give you a little bit of a vision of where Jesus and his disciples are at in this point in time. And so here we are. We're in around the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place to be. On the top of the Mount of Beatitudes, you're able to see over onto the other side of Jordan. You're able to see those high hills that are over there. You're able to see the hills around the Sea of Galilee, and so much to take in there. An area that today that is known as the Mount of Beatitudes. But as you see the beauty that is surrounded by it, it really wasn't a great place of convenience to preach. When you begin to think about it, and I understand this a little bit more, just myself being able to be there and be able to take this in, it wasn't really a place of convenience. And so Jesus here, he's taken the opportunity to preach to his disciple. Jesus would take this opportunity to preach no matter where the location was at. He didn't need a pulpit in front of him, nor did he need a seat in front of him to sit on. Jesus would capitalize upon the opportunity to preach the gospel. But here in this location, he addresses his disciples. The thing here that gets my interest is the fact that the disciples had a great desire to be taught by their master. They had a great desire to be taught by their master. And the reason why I say this is for this reason. The crowd followed, because Jesus had a following of a crowd of thousands of people at a time. And so the crowd would follow him for this very reason. It wasn't necessarily to get underneath the teaching of Jesus Christ himself, because that's what the disciples desired. Their desire at this point in time was to see him perform miracles. They wanted to see him heal the blind. They wanted to see him heal the man who couldn't walk. They wanted to see those things. And so they had a different motive for being around him. But at the same time, even though their motives were different, they heard the preaching of Jesus Christ and their lives were forever changed. But the disciples had a greater interest in the Lord, and that was this. That was his teachings. They wanted to gain spiritually from him. And folks, with that being said, we should have a desire to gain spiritually from Jesus as well. And you know what? We have this great opportunity every time we open up his word. We have a great opportunity for him to show us the things that we need to have in our lives so that we can grow spiritually closer to him. Their motives, unlike some who followed, were true and genuine. His teachings, here's what they were able to capitalize upon as they sat underneath the teachings of Jesus. They would learn things of this. They would learn how to love. You know, we need to be taught how to love. You guys hear me this on many different occasions as I pray. Lord, we love because you, what? First loved us. And so they are able to learn from his teachings how to love. And when you're dealing with people, because what was really taking place during his time with Jesus and his disciples, Jesus was preparing them to continue the message, the gospel message that he started. He was preparing them to continue that on after he would leave the scene. And so when you begin to grow into this character of a teacher and you begin to have the crowd that is around you, you first of all have to have a love for the crowd. You have to have a love for the people. And so he would begin to teach him how to love. And so then their next teaching that they would learn from him and that they would gain is this. They would begin to learn how to show compassion. Jesus had a great desire to show people compassion. Well, how did he show compassion? Well, he was able to heal. And he showed compassion in those areas. He had people who followed him who left their livelihood for a short time in history and followed him to this place and that place, and they were hungry and they were thirsty. And the Lord would provide a meal for them because of his compassion. And so they were being taught these things. They were also being taught how to be merciful. To be merciful. You know, just because you're a preacher or you're a teacher, you're not always going to be popular. You're not always going to be well-liked. You might face some criticism throughout that lifetime that you're in. And because of that, you're going to have to extend mercy to folks in areas. Then the other thing that his teaching would consist of would be this, and that is to be friendly. You know, it's different to come up here and just to give a message because God's laid it upon your heart. But at the same time, it's not going to be well received if you're not friendly towards the people that God has called you to preach to. So you need to be friendly. And he was teaching them these things. And finally, as he was teaching them, he would teach them how to show grace to where grace is needed. And he would teach these things. And they were gravitated towards him. And they wanted to gain from him spiritually. And they gained so much. And this is just a small list that I came up with myself. And I know there's much more that we can add to this list. But finally, he would also do this. He would teach them how to pray. I told you this morning in Sunday school that one of the greatest desires that they had, that I know that they asked for, was this: Lord, teach us to pray. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 11. The book of Luke chapter 11. And we'll read this in verse number 1 of chapter 11. And it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Verse number 2, it says, "And he said unto him, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread." And so they would learn from him not only these other principles in life, but they would also learn how to pray. And he would teach them how to pray. When Jesus would begin to preach, wisdom would spew forth from his mouth. And they marveled at every word that came forth from him. Imagine, folks, with me just for a minute, being in the presence of Jesus, being underneath his teaching. Would you not be marveled? Would you not be just sitting in awe? Would you not just be sitting at attention, not worrying about anything else that is around you? When I think about it, being out there in the Mount of Beatitudes, the disciples are out there. I know what they are faced with. I saw the beauty that they saw. And it can be very easily distracted, but they were just so tuned into him, just waiting to hear the things that would come forth from his mouth, just waiting to have that wisdom being spoke. This message here in the book of Matthew that we're in chapter number 5, this message was specifically for the disciples. And each word and each sentence was designed specifically for them. And we can take this and we can apply this to our lives as well. So let's begin this process of the Beatitudes. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. They knew he was ready, and they walked towards him." In verse number 2, it says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and these words came out of his mouth were this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What this verse means is, for people who recognize their own spiritual poverty and their need for God. That's what this verse means. So often we think that all we need is the wealth of this world. That's what our mentality is. And we think the wealth of this world can bring us happiness. And we can see that wealth does not buy happiness. Most of the wealthiest people that we know are the most miserable people. And the happiest people that I've seen are the people who do without. Our inheritance isn't in this world. It's what we have to inherit, and that is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning those who are spiritually poor, their greatest riches will come when they are with the Lord. And they have also recognized that they are nothing without him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It is also realizing that we have nothing worth to offer to God. It is also admitting that because of our sin, we are completely destitute spiritually and can do nothing to deliver ourselves from our situation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As we move along from that and we go into verse number 4 this evening, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This here, I want to explain just a little bit better if I can than I did the previous. This tells us here, those that have a tender heart, God will bless. Those that have a tender heart, God will bless. If we believe that God's grace and his sovereignty are greater than any loss or disappointment in life, we too can experience joy in the midst of sorrow. Many of us have been in the midst of sorrow, and because of God, we're able to experience his comfort. And because we're able to experience his comfort, we're also able at the same time to experience joy in that situation. God will comfort those that mourn. We have had people experience in our church lately some great mourning. And when they mourn and when they begin to weep, not because they feel sorry for themselves, but because of a great loss in their life, there is an emptiness. There is an emptiness there. Pastor talked about it briefly this morning about how we all have relatives in heaven. There is an emptiness there when someone that we love is not with us. But they, without a doubt, during that time of emptiness, during that time of mourning, without a doubt, they are experiencing the comfort of God. What a great way, a place to be in, by experiencing the comfort of God during our time of mourning. There is nothing more satisfying in life than to experience the comfort of God. I dealt this past Wednesday night, with people who hurt for many different reasons. But we know for a fact, because of his promise to us, God will comfort us. You know, when people hurt, they're mourning. They're sad. They need help. They need comfort. And God will give them comfort. Verse number 4, again, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Also, this should be a time for us to kneel in prayer. For those who are hurting, for those who are mourning during their time of great loss. Not being so focused upon ourselves, but rather shift our focus to those who are in great need of God's comfort in their life. So often when somebody passes here, what we do, oh, hey, we're praying for you. Is there anything that I can do? And we leave it at that. And from day one after that, they begin to go through their mourning process, and we are not there for them. The greatest thing that you and I can do for those people is to pray for them. By the way, I don't believe that mourning process ever really goes away. I believe people continue to grieve for years for the loss that they've experienced. And I've heard some people say, you know, they just need to get over it. Time has gone on. If you're not in that situation, you have no right to say something like that, because of the emptiness that they are experiencing. Some people go through it differently. And some people have great difficulties during those times. And it's up to us to take the time to pray for them. Pray for those who mourn. And through that, you can be a tremendous blessing to those who are in need. And it's not just for the ones that are mourning, but it's also for the ones who are hurting. And I said this Wednesday night, we hurt for many different reasons. It's not a time for us to be selfish and to focus upon ourselves and what we got ahead for us in our future, but man, take the time to pray for those who are mourning and who are hurting. Verse number 5, as we continue to move on, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So often I've heard this, meekness is a weakness. I think I would disagree with that. And that saying couldn't be further from the truth in my mind. Meekness is a humility toward God and towards others. It is having the right or the power to do something, but refraining from the benefit for someone else. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2. If you're awake tonight, please say amen. Nod your head so I can hear something rattle. But in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 5 through 8 here. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of his cross." Meekness models the humility of Jesus Christ. There were other godly leaders in the Old Testament as well that would demonstrate meekness in their lives. And you can look this up later for you to see this, but in the book of Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3, you'll read about Moses, as he is one of the meekest men around. Believers are also called to share the gospel in meekness. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, it says this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior will be growing in meekness. And Jesus said, their reward, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." As we continue to move on, we'll jump down to verse number 6. And this is the last one that we are going to deal with tonight. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There is absolutely nothing wrong with having a desire to live a righteous life. We should have a hunger and a thirst to live a righteous life. Usually, we thirst and we hunger for other things that are in this world. We hunger and we thirst for the temporary feeling in life, meaning it doesn't matter when it comes to eternity. We put our hunger and thirst to those things. Honestly, folks, it has become even more difficult to recognize believers today because there is no hunger, there is no thirst for a righteous living. Can I get an amen on that one? With that being said, I am extremely thankful for the ones that stand out in this world. They reject the thought of being like and looking like the world, because they have a desire for righteousness. They have a desire and a hunger for that. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16 says it very well. We're not too far from there, so let's go ahead and turn there. Verse number 16, it says this: "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" The reason why I said it's hard to recognize believers today because of what the Word of God says here in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. "Ye shall know them by their fruits." It has become very obvious why believers don't thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God. And it's for this reason: because the world has become their treasures. The world has become their treasure. Turn back with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 21, to back this up. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can find out where a believer's heart is by where they set up their treasures. And unfortunately, sadly, their treasures are set up in the world. It's not set up in the earthly, in the heavenly kingdom of God. Where is your treasure? So we might have a better understanding of this if we want to be filled, because at the end of this verse in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you want to be filled, here's the qualifications. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is what we need to do. And so with that being said, I'm going to conclude our service tonight. I didn't want to take any more time because there's five more that we are going to deal with in the next week to come. And I want to take my time on that. And sometimes it's good just to shut up and go home. And all God's people said, shut up and go home. Let's have a word of prayer and we will be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this night that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that for the great example that you are in our lives. We ask you just watch over us as we leave from here tonight. Give us safety. Lord, I pray for a safe return this coming Wednesday. But Lord, from here until Wednesday, Lord, I pray that every single one of us that are in here and the ones that are listening on YouTube, that we would pick up our word and read it daily, so that we can allow you to grow our lives. Lord, give us a thirst. Give us a hunger for righteousness. So, Lord, that we can be filled. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. I thank you for the ones that are faithful in coming out. Lord, bless them as they leave, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.